Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Kelly Kirsch on a game day. Flames in Boston take on the Bruins. Our pregame show at 4, play-by-play at 5. Busy show today. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. We've got our NHL insider, Eric Tkachuk. He'll be out in Anaheim for the game day skates for the Ducks and the Oilers. We'll find out what's going on the day after the trade deadline. But first, let's start the show off. Talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Lou, there's so much to talk about. I feel like the guy from Slapshot. Tell me about the new boys, right? Because the
yeah.
So we've got some. Maybe just kind of go over the changes that you maybe are anticipating. Some big news when it comes to Flames lineup tonight.
So do you want to start with the lineup and then into the two new guys?
Let's do that. Let's go with the lineup from goalie out, and then we'll go and talk about the new guys.
All right. So we'll start there, and we'll go with David Rittich in goal. On defense, it looks like the captain, who's officially a game-time decision, but I definitely think there's a better than about 90% chance he plays, will be back in the lineup after missing significant time, and he'll play with TJ Brody. You'll have the pairing of Hanifin and Anderson, and the two newcomers, Derek Forbort, who came over in the deal yesterday from the Los Angeles Kings, and Erik Gustafsson, who came over in the deal from the Chicago Blackhawks. That will round out things on defense and a big focus of our attention. Up front, Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm, Mangiapane, Backlund, Tkachuk. Derek Ryan tonight will start in the middle with Lucic and Dylan Dubé, and Sam Bennett away from the middle for this game with Jankowski and Reeder. That is how it looked as far as today's lineup at this morning's pregame skate. So lots there, lots to delve into, and frankly, lots to be excited and curious about at the same time.
Yeah, and maybe we shouldn't bury the lead. Mark Giordano coming back and potentially playing in a game. We thought we might see him on the road trip, but this is stop number two. This would be we know he's in wicked shape and he's a quick healer, but this would be a real nice surprise.
Well, it's a great surprise, Kelly, and Mark has not played since February the 4th when he got hurt in the game against the San Jose Sharks in Calgary. So to the credit of the group, when you've had both he and Travis Hamonic out for, you know, those 8 games, that has taken a tremendous toll. It was a big reason why Brad Treleving went out and felt, especially with Hamonic still on the shelf, likely for a few more weeks, that you wanted to add some depth and some different dimensions. So, you know, when you have your best player in a position back, that can only help you. But Kelly, one thing that Jeff Ward addressed, and this can always be the case, albeit tonight may be a difficult night to assess that, is this. How many times have you seen a situation where, you know, the best part of Mark being out for this team is, I think, by and large, Noah Hanifin, right at the top of the list, and Rasmus Anderson have taken their game to even better places.
Yeah, they had to, right? They had to take over those minutes.
They had to. But I guess you know where I'm going next. So sometimes, though, when all of a sudden a big guy comes back in your lineup, for lack of a better what do you think can happen to the rest of the group?
Well, it's like, no, he's got this, so I can kind of lay back, but I don't think that's going to happen against a team like the Boston Bruins in their barn where they've only lost twice in regulation all season long.
I don't, but there can be some tendency sometimes because they play more minutes. They've been in a more valuable, needed position, and sometimes that really drives guys to be at their best. But you're right, especially tonight and for the rest of the way, you know, you cannot take a step back if you're any of the Flames players who have been placed in more dependent roles. This should really help them grow and handle this final 19-game stretch. So it's terrific. And, you know, it's great. I thought Nashville, Kelly, at the earliest. I was not expecting Boston. Thought Nashville or Tampa. So the captain comes back.
Yeah.
As far as the new people are concerned, I think the biggest acquisition of two is
We're just going to stop for a second. Lou's phone is not working out. I'll get Riley to reconnect with him as we're talking with Peter Lombardi's ahead of the Flames game coming up here as they take on the Boston Bruins. And yes, we're going to see the two new guys. They will be the 5-6 on that defensive pairing. Derek Forbert, who came here from Los Angeles, and Erik Gustafsson from Chicago. So this will be interesting. One is a little more offensive, obviously, one a little more defensive. And they are going to be a pairing, the third pairing, with Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson. And yes, you heard it right. It sure looks like Mark Giordano will be on that number one pairing with TJ Brody. And they're going to need everybody, all hands on deck, looking at some of the Bruins' stats after they got rolled up by Vancouver on their last game of the road trip, 9-3 on Saturday night, which like never happens. If you go back to their previous seven games, they are 7-0-0 at home, scoring an average of 4 goals per game, and they're plus 17. So they are lights out when it comes to what's going on with the TD Garden. So that's what's happening. So there's all kinds of things to talk about. Also, on the Boston side, Nick Ritchie's going to play. So he's going to be on a line with Charlie Coyle and Bjork. Cash is not going to play. He's still hurt, apparently. So that's what's happening. Tuukka Rask is going to play in net, trying to redeem himself after a tough Saturday night. We're trying to re-hook up with the one, the only, Peter Lombardi's in Boston. The phone just was just not. I gave it a little while, and then it just was just not happening. Here's another stat that I saw today. This is kind of you know the whole first goal on the first shot. Any idea on how many times that's happened this year? Nine times. That is a lot. So they'll try and rectify that problem as well. So I think we got a better connection with Peter Lombardi's, and we're talking about the new guys and putting them into 5-6. One's offensive, one's defensive. Kind of pick up what you're talking about with they're going to go for it. They're going to put those guys in the lineup tonight.
Well, they are. They're going to put them together. But Erik Gustafsson is probably the more intriguing guy of the bunch, and even from how they went about their business today, a real key part of this acquisition, Kelly, for the 27-year-old from Sweden, is to run the number one power play unit. Remember, he was one of the highest scoring defensemen in the league last year, 17 goals and 60 points. Now, that has fallen off this year before the deadline acquisition from Chicago, 6 goals, 20 assists, and 26 points. But in the case of Jeff Ward, and let's go there first, Jeff is not hesitating. He feels that this is an area that Erik Gustafsson, the power play, could really help improve this team in an essential place.
The ability to move along the blue line, make that first pass on the tape, manipulate the box so that when you do move it to a flank, they have an opening to attack. He's got all those things in his game, and he does it seamlessly. And, you know, our power play has been a little stale. And so inserting him there tonight, I think, is just going to be what the doctor ordered. You know, watching him in practice today, he did exactly all of those things. And it just makes the power play a lot more dangerous when he doesn't have to make that extra move or take those extra couple of seconds to process something. He knows exactly where that next play is when he's receiving the puck. So that should help us a lot. It should give Johnny and Elias more time on the flanks in order to start coming downhill or look for a seam play, be in a position to shoot the puck a lot quicker. So a lot of the things that the top guy sets up, we're going to have some benefit from, and I'm anxious to see how it goes tonight.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to get a power play first, so that'll be interesting to see what happens, as the Bruins have been pretty lights out at home. But that's high praise for a guy that's just starting his first game with the Flames and said, here you go, here's our power play, help us with it.
Kelly, I'll put it in this perspective, and this is not to take away from the abilities of Mark Giordano or any other players. I don't think this team has had what I feel is a true number one power play quarterback for as long as I've been around the team. Now, some players, including Mark two seasons ago, did more than an admirable job running that 1-2-2, 1-3-1 power play. But I've always felt that it is an element that this team has been looking for quite some time. And it's twofold for me, too. What it also can do is it can help Mark, A, kind of take a little bit off of his plate. That's a big plate. Huge matchups. Big part of the penalty kill. I still think he'll get power play time very likely on the second unit. He's going to be a good option. Maybe, you know, they don't get some of the benefits that they're hoping with, and it will likely be a work in progress. But, you know, I wanted to go there because I think that's a big piece of yesterday's acquisition, is to have someone that you feel could really quarterback a power play and get it going. And will there be anything more important than special teams and goaltending, especially from here on in? You know, those still decide a lot of games. So, you know, Gustafson, for that reason, I think is really key, and it's a few layers because I do. I think it can take some of the heat and minutes away from Mark and will allow him to be even potentially more effective at the things he's just absolutely terrific at. As far as Forbort is concerned, he's an interesting guy to me. Now, he has not played a lot. He's had a bad back, so he's only played in 13 games. But, Kelly, what I like about him is, you know, he comes from L.A. He's spent considerable amounts of time the last few years before this season as Drew Doughty's defense partner. He's big. He skates. He's a defense-first guy. There's not a pile of offense, but he gives you physicality back there. I like, frankly, that both of these players have come from organizations where they've won or have been around others who have done a considerable amount of winning. And you hope that that rubs off. And then maybe when they're more comfortable and they find themselves being in a better spot in Calgary, I don't think it ever hurts to have more people with experience of either winning or being around winning. It's not something that you can find in a graph or a chart, but I'll always believe that it's really, really important.
Flames and Boston tonight. It's an early start on the drive home. 4 o'clock for your pregame show. Play-by-play at 5 o'clock with Eric and Peter. And we were talking about it earlier. This is a tough task. You know, the Boston Bruins have been lights out this year. They've only lost twice at home in regulation. They're 7-0-0 in their last seven games at home, and they're a plus 17. And we talked about it. We can probably just rewind the tape and talk about that number one line, and it's gonna come down to the Sean Monahan line trying to. You know, they got last change. Obviously, it's gonna take a Herculean effort to control that top line of the Bruins.
Well, they're in the spotlight again tonight, and maybe Kelly even more so than they were talking about the Monahan line when the game was played in Calgary, because the Bruins have last change. It'll be interesting to see what Bruce Cassidy does with his groups, if he feels like maybe he'd like to get away from the Backlund line with the Bergeron line and have them go up against the Monahan line. And, you know, one of the reasons the Flames have been effective on the road is you don't get to dictate. So in a lot of cases, you rule your lines and you come into a game, as they will tonight, that you like, knowing that you have to be at your best or you're going to get it. And the Bruins, you don't have to say anything to the Bruins. They don't lose a lot of games 9-3, and they just did. So I don't expect them to be anything less than at their best. That doesn't go over well. Even Jeff Ward's addressed that Bruce Cassidy won't have to say one thing to that leadership group to say, gentlemen, that's not acceptable. That's not who we are and what we do. Now, the other thing about the Bruins that's different since Friday is they could have two different faces in their lineup. They've got some things done to add to what's already one of the best teams in the league. Nick Ritchie comes over, the former first-round pick of the Ducks, the 24-year-old, and he is very likely to play. From all I've seen, the two teams do not skate at the same place. Unfortunately, they skate at different places at the same time. But my intel tells me that we're going to see Nick Ritchie for sure. And Andre Kasha, who they acquired also in a separate deal from Anaheim, could very well be in their lineup tonight. So the Bruins will have a different look with Nick Ritchie, who is coming off the best game he's had in his NHL career, two-goal, two-assist performance against Vegas. They'll be even bigger and potentially heavier and harder to deal with from a physical standpoint, which is one of the reasons Sam Bennett is going where he's going to go to deal with the depth and some of the Bruins' physicality tonight. So a different Boston team, but probably grouchy, motivated, and as you said, Kelly, winning at the Garden, not easy for anybody.
Yeah, it's tough slugging, but that's the way it goes. This is where the Flames are right now. They got 19 games to go to get themselves a playoff spot. Let's talk a little, expand upon Sam Bennett. He's going to, you know, he's the type of guy that he does get some dirty jobs and maybe not the most notoriety. You know, he's got to do some hard stuff. He's going to be front and center tonight, obviously.
Well, you know, he's in a different role tonight is what I would say. So they've really liked him, Kelly, the last few games in the middle with Lucic and Dylan Dubé. And I will not be the least bit surprised when we go to Nashville for the next game if Sam isn't found down the middle in the lineup. He's looked better. He's been more engaged. He's been more productive. But people always have to remember that the matchup and the type of depth and physicality of the Bruins and, you know, different teams, Kelly, require different things in your lineup, especially when you don't get to control it on the road. So do I see Sam being back in the middle again before too long? I do. And frankly, you know, we haven't really spent some time, I did yesterday, on the deadline and what I thought. Sam Bennett, to me, is such an interesting player for this team, and I'll tell you why. My guess is if the Flames were trying to do some other things yesterday, the one player that other teams may have wanted to take off their hands was Sam Bennett, but they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is probably in his own way been one of the most interesting players that I've ever watched because they're still waiting for more. And I think because of what he's done, whether it's recently or his three playoff appearances, there's some real hesitation. And from what I've seen from him in the middle, if he gets some more work in the middle between now and the end of the year, depending on how you want to go forward with your team. And let's not forget about Elias Lindholm, who I truly believe is arguably this team's best center iceman. And he's not there. So this is more of a future conversation. But Sam Bennett, for me, is an interesting guy, whether it's the end of this year or what their plans are for him going forward.
Yeah, we've talked about him a lot. Interesting to see what his role is going forward. Lou, I wanted to talk a little bit about chemistry and, you know, teamwork. And there's been some teams that any ex-NHLer I've ever talked to always talks about, you know, the team dynamic and that chemistry. And when you yank a couple of guys out, maybe two, three guys out, and push three more guys in, you run the risk of kind of messing that chemistry up. When I look around the league, there's a few teams that I kind of wonder about. I wonder about the Edmonton Oilers, and I wonder about the Carolina Hurricanes, who, you know, I've got some interesting things going, but you wonder, you know, what that's going to be like, because it's hard to define. You can't see it on Corsi or any of these analytics. But the chemistry is very, very important. I wouldn't say it if I haven't heard it from just about every ex-NHL player I've ever known.
Well, and I'm the same way. And Corey Sarge and I talked about it yesterday during my hit in the afternoon. So we visited that. I think you know me pretty well. I think the team dynamic and the people dynamic in anything is something that should never be undervalued. It's really, really important. And you're right. What happens in certain situations, and every team is different. So, you know, if you're the Calgary Flames, listen, right now today, if you're Michael Stone, let's take Michael for an example. That's hard. he's been through a lot, and this is now another chapter for him. If you're Oliver Shillington, you're not the happiest guy on the planet either. If you're the rest of the group, though, in Calgary, your general manager went out and basically said, I'm not touching the forward group. I'm not touching the core. So you guys need to figure it out. You need to figure it out. I'm going to help you. I'm going to provide more depth in an area where we're injured and could potentially use something a little bit different. And I think, Kelly, depending on your team and how your team is going, that I don't mind ruffling some feathers sometimes. Because I think sometimes even when teams like one another a lot as people, sometimes it gets a little comfy. So for certain groups, maybe that can help. Just raise a little, just get everybody on edge a little. But on the other side, what maybe you're referring to more is for good teams or teams that are, you know, really defined, well, guess what? I know in any situation, do you like it when somebody takes a role away from you? No. Do you like it when you feel less important than somebody else?
Yeah.
No. You think hockey players are any different? They're not.
No.
So you're right. It's, you know, it always seems from the outside looking in that we need this and we need that. And that's the job, is to try to help improve your team. But listen, you really have to know your group and your people and the fit. And what it really always, to me, boils down to is the leadership in your room and how they take the changes and the moves and how they go around in that room as the leaders. And you help either those whose roles have diminished, you make new people feel welcome, and you bring your group together. That's how business gets done the right way. That's how relationships get done the right way. And that's how you win in team sports. It's all, to me, it's all the same. It's not easy to do, but I think that's the formula if you have the right people to bind it all together.
Flames in Boston tonight. They take on the Bruins, pregame at 4, play-by-play at 5. I think we should review the big news with all the roster changes is Mark Giordano will play. He'll be paired with TJ Brody. And the two new guys are going to be paired up together. Lou, that's going to be interesting to see how Forbert and Gustafson play together.
Yeah. Nobody would say Mark's absolutely in for sure. We all think he's going to be in for sure. Players have said it. He's said it. So Giordano and Brody, Forbert and Gustafson. Look for Gustafson if the Flames get power plays. They had two of them against the Bruins on Friday. And the forward line with Derek Ryan, Lucic, and Dylan Dubé, Sam Bennett shifting to play with Jankowski and Reeder, and the other two lines, the Monahan line with Lindholm and Gaudreau, Mangiapane, Backlund in the middle, and Matthew Tkachuk.
It looks like David Rittich in goal, and looks like maybe Tuukka Rask for Boston from what I'm seeing. So
yes.
This will be very interesting, you know, and, you know, we can draw out a bunch of scary numbers, but suffice to say, the Flames are going to have probably their biggest test of the year tonight in Boston.
Well, they don't get any bigger, but it's another game. And, you know, this is an interesting one because you can't forget that they need as many points as they can get. You know you're up against it. And, Kelly, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I really think, for me, they won a really key game on this trip. And two games that I'm really thinking about the most are in Sunrise on Sunday against the Panthers and in Nashville on Thursday. That's not to take anything away from Boston or Tampa Bay, but here's what I know. A lot of teams don't win in this city, and a lot of teams don't win in Tampa. So in its own way, let's see what happens tonight. But those two games are the ones on this trip, the rest of the way, I really have circled, because I think those are the two better halves.
I always look at it this way. A five-game trip, you got 2 points, you need 5 more somehow. Basically, right? Maybe 4?
I thought 5 minimum at minimum on the whole trip. 6 would be a good trip, and especially if the 6 come, you know, Nashville's part of that because that's a team that you're battling with. Anything after 6 to me is, you know, if you like a few extra sprinkles or some score bar on your ice cream, that's what you get.
All right. Well, we'll listen for you today at 4 o'clock with the warm-up show with Pat Steinberg, and you and Derek will have the call from Boston coming up at 5, and we'll talk tomorrow for sure, Lou.
Okay. Have a great day, you guys.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
It's Kelly Kirsch and Hockey Central at noon. Coming up, we'll go to Anaheim and talk to Eric Tkachuk. The couple teams that were busy in different ways. The Ducks were like firing players out, and the Oilers were accumulating players. We'll talk to him. He's seen a lot of NHL trade deadlines. We'll talk to Eric from LA coming up in the next segment. Also, I want to tell you, coming up before the end of the show, we'll have your chance to win a pair of tickets. We got tickets to go see the Hitmen and Brandon Wheat Kings and the Hitmen and Lethbridge Hurricanes. So, and I won't even come up with a crazy localized trivia question. It's just going to be simple, easy. Easy peasy, just like that. All right, we'll take a break and talk to Tkachuk next, right here on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch on a game day. Flames in Boston, pregame at 4, play-by-play at 5. Time now to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, the same secret recipe since 1975, for pickup or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or just go see them at 6060 Memorial Drive in the Northeast. He's Eric Tkachuk in Anaheim. So you are attending the skate for the Oilers and Ducks. What can you tell us? What have you garnered so far?
Well, I mean, you know, Edmonton is sort of a little bit like Calgary in the sense that, you know, in a state of flux after the trade deadline, the Ducks went on first and the Oilers are about to go on the ice, like right this minute. They had a day off here, so it'll be the first time that Athanasiou is with them. I think a lot of us had speculated even last week that he would be a real good fit, partly because, you know, the general manager in Edmonton is the one that drafted him for Detroit, and this kid can really fly. He can skate with the best of them in the National Hockey League. He's probably not a name that everyone is familiar with, but if you ever see his highlight package, he can accelerate the way McDavid can, the way Dylan Larkin can. So, you know, there's always that question about chemistry and where he fits in, and sort of the news that Kyler Yamamoto is going to miss some time really sets the Oilers back, because he, along with Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins, had formed a very effective 5-on-5 line. And I think the expectation is that with these moves that they made, including Tyler Ennis, that, you know, maybe you could find the right chemistry with McDavid and without having to play him with Draisaitl. And if you have that, then everything else sorts itself out in the bottom six forward. So, with Yamamoto's injury, they have to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit. So it'll all unfold in the next little while. I do think that the hope in Edmonton is that the two of those speedsters together creates all kinds of matchups and issues for opposing teams. And you know, tonight will be interesting because, you know, the Ducks are playing without their top defenseman, Cam Fowler. So it could be a track meet here.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the Ducks moved a lot of guys out. So what, I guess on the other side, there's a team that's in full rebuild mode now. So, but you got to kind of play the last little bit of the season here. This is going to be interesting for the Ducks tonight and going forward.
Yeah, well, I don't see a lot of upside in the final month to 6 weeks. So a lot of teams, when they're sort of playing in garbage time, or whatever term you want to describe when you're playing out the string, basically they turn to their young players and they say, you know, this is your NHL audition. This is your opportunity to get your feet wet. This is your opportunity to show us that you can, you know, adjust to the life of an NHL player, because that's the hardest part. You know, like everybody, you know, like Los Angeles, for example, they called up their, you know, one of their top picks from a couple of years ago, Gabe Villard. Already made his NHL debut last week, played great, you know, had a goal 10 seconds after he stepped on the ice, had another assist. And then, you know, the second and third game, not so good, you know, eventually got sent down to Ontario. But the point is, you know, you expose them to the media, to the dressing room, your teammates, and you basically allow them to absorb what it is like to be an NHL player, so that when you arrive at training camp in September, you can hit the ground running. The awe is out of the experience, and now This is your job. And part of being a good NHL player is being a consistent NHL player and coming to work every day and playing at the highest possible level that you can. That's what separates, especially when you're talking about, you know, kids coming in trying to get their feet in the door. You know, some do and have, you know, 10, 12, 15-year careers, and some, you know, they're here and then they're gone. And I think internally Anaheim wants to find out, among those young players that they've got, who are the ones that are going to forge long NHL careers, and that you do that with consistency. And so this is, you know, this is pressure-free time to adjust to the league, and then, you know, then you're going to have a different experience in October, because now you're facing the pressure of competing for a spot, and everybody's 0-0-0 again, and now, you know, now the games matter, and, you know, can you play at that level when the games matter? Because sometimes it's easy to play in March when you're not thinking about anything but just, you know, going out and playing. It gets harder, you know, when the pressure ramps up.
While we were gathered around, we weren't sure what we were going to get for the NHL trade deadline day. It turned out to be pretty fun for us. They were nice and spread out. The Flames did some stuff, and there was trades that started in the morning and just kept on going. I want to ask you about the two head scratchers. First of all, Wayne Simmonds to Buffalo. I found that a little strange. So did a lot of other people. And Vincent Trocheck going to Carolina. I'm just wondering where Florida and Buffalo are thinking, or maybe you can shed some light on where they're thinking acquiring those players.
Well, first of all, when you said head scratcher, my first thought went to, oh, he's going to ask me about Barkley Gaudreau. That wasn't the biggest head scratcher
no,
for you?
Well, no, I guess we could. Like, that seemed like real, like they got the right Gaudreau, right? Like they knew what they were doing. So yeah, like a first round pick is like, I mean, Tampa is all in full tilt. We want to win a Stanley Cup this year, right? That's what that's about.
Yeah, well, no, it is. Yeah, but I mean, you know, Barkley Gaudreau, I mean, first round pick, you know, good player, right? You know, but and you know, and sort of playing up the depth chart a little bit because of the injuries to Couture and Hurdle. But it's like, oh my goodness, you know, like I just seems like an awful lot, and it did seem like an overpick. So when I'm listing, you know, head scratchers at the deadline, I put that one at the top of the list, understanding full well what Tampa had in mind, but still thinking that that's an overpay for Barkley Gaudreau. For the other ones, no. I'm as puzzled as you were when I think that, you know, that Wayne Simmonds was someone that, you know, the Calgary kicked the tires on, the Vancouver kicked the tires on. And I don't know whether this was a matter of the player himself, you know, wanting to close the door on some of those opportunities. I mean, what I would tell you is that I think that Buffalo believes that what Wayne Simmonds brings to the mix is something that they need long term. And so the issue with Wayne Simmonds right now is, you know, like, what is his health and how much does he have left in the tank? And so if you're an organization like Buffalo that is considering, you know, when he becomes an unrestricted free agent, signing him, what this allows you to do is see him close up for 6 weeks, you know, see what his energy and his enthusiasm level is, see if he's going to be that piece that you need, because, you know, they have some skilled players, but they need a little bit of bite, they need a power play presence, and your medical people also will get a chance to really assess him. So I think what you're doing, you didn't pay a giant acquisition cost, and it's essentially an audition for the team, and I think it's an audition for Simmonds too. I mean, he's from the Toronto area. I think there would be a great deal of appeal of playing in Buffalo for Wayne Simmonds. You know, people always talk about, you know, Buffalo, Winnipeg as these places that don't have a ton of appeal, you know, for the vast majority of NHL players. But if you have your roots in Toronto, you know, your family can come down in 45 minutes. They can pretty much commute to every home game if they so desire. So there would be a reason personally why Simmonds would want to look at being part of the future in Buffalo. And I'll tell you the other thing that happens is when you get to Buffalo, the first thing you do is speak with Ralph Kruger for a half an hour, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got you going, because he is the quintessential motivational speaker among NHL head coaches. So I think that Simmonds is the type of guy that would really buy what Ralph Kruger is trying to sell. So, I mean, you're right. It's not a team that's going anywhere. It's not a team that is going to, you know, finish 17-2 and miraculously get themselves back in the playoff conversation. But I understand from a practical business point of view why a player with his injury history and his just checkered performance the last couple of years, why having him there gives you a better chance to evaluate him rather than, you know, if you're interested in him in July 1st, you're doing your due diligence from outside the organization. Now you can do it as a player that's playing for you right now. So that would be my explanation for the Simmonds thing.
What about Trocheck?
Okay, another one that's really curious, because again, I was here last week when Florida was passing through town, spent some time with the manager, spent some time with the coach, spent some time with saw Trocheck in the dressing room. The only thing that I would tell you is that I think, you know, they haven't quite figured out what the chemistry of this team is. So Florida made these changes where you bring in, you know, Bobrovsky hasn't been, you know, the goaltender that they hoped that they would get for the $70 million that they spent. Defense has just been okay. And, you know, frankly, you know, they all the offense has been concentrated on one line. And when they took Dadonov off that line, it's really just concentrated in two players, Huberdeau and Barkov there, right? So I just think that at this stage of the game, I believe they think that Eric Halla can do a lot of the things that that Trocheck can at a slightly lesser price, not a ton less, and maybe they rate those prospects. You know, when it gets to prospects, like, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't pay enough attention to know if these kids are you know, have a chance to just play, you know, play at a mid-level, you know, or have an upside that makes you think that they're going to be, like, you know, real, real good NHL players. So that, to me, would be the reason for doing that if you're Florida. You know, the idea that you see something in one of these kids that you've got included in the package that makes you think that he's going to be a real player. But I like Halla, and I like Halla's speed, and I think Halla's speed is going to really help Florida. You know, when you think about how sort of Florida kind of donated those great players, or Marchessault and Riley Smith to Vegas and really got Vegas off the ball. Well, Halla was part of the top six group in Vegas in that first year, and I get it. In year two, he had that injury, and then this year he had a fantastic start for Carolina, and then kind of hit the skids a little bit again because of an injury. But he's a really good skater, and I think he can do a lot of the things that Trocheck can. I mean, Trocheck at his best is going to probably score 15 points a year more than Halla, but he's a guy that's going to help them, and I don't think there's going to be a dramatic drop off based on the kind of year Trocheck is having, which has been very average when you go from one to the other.
Besides the Edmonton Oilers in the Pacific Division yesterday, I think the Flames did what they did on the back end to help out a need for sure. But then we saw kind of later in the afternoon the Golden Knights make a goalie trade, and they get Robin Lehner in there, and that really solidifies their goaltending. If they were worried even a little bit about Marc-Andre Fleury, they've got a nice tandem there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what that one reminded me of, Kelly? Do you remember a few years ago when Ben Bishop was available as a rental and L.A. brought him in? And it was like, all these teams that are shopping for a goalie, and L.A. has had Quick. Now, Quick had missed a bunch of the season, but he was back playing. And then they brought in Bishop, and the explanation from the general manager at the time, Dean Lombardi, was that, we just don't know how Quick is going to be coming off this serious injury, and we feel that with Ben Bishop, we have a real good option. But the reality is that Bishop hardly played for them because Quick played fine, and then that was the year I also brought in Jerome McGinley. They didn't make the playoffs anyway. And then Bishop left as a free agent. And again, it was one of those perplexing, puzzling things that didn't really make sense at the time. And, again, he was a contingency plan. And when it's a contingency plan that you don't have to use, you wonder after the fact if that was a smart use of resources. Here's what I would tell you about that transaction. And Lehner is a different cat, big personality. And I also think that they believe that, at a certain point, Marc-Andre Fleury can no longer be a 60 to 65 game a night goalie. He isn't that guy anymore, I don't believe. So I think that what they found in Vegas was the drop-off from Fleury to Malcolm Subban was so great that's why they're a team that's, effectively still on the playoff bubble, because they just hadn't been getting the kind of performance and results that they need from a backup goalie. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think that, they're going to bring him in. They're going to, expose him to the culture of the organization, and then see what he wants to do. I can see them signing him to a contract extension to be like a 1A, 1B combination with Fleury, and that as time passes and Fleury has to sort of take on more of a a Brian Miller type of role where, you know, like a, you become a star player, but you have a secondary role just because of the ages. What's going on with Henrik Lundqvist? They feel that, that Robin Leonard can be their number one guy. And that's something that organizationally they have to deal with because, you know, they the one thing that they didn't get in the expansion draft, they only took three goalies. J.F. Berube was out of the organization quickly. It's hard to develop your own goalie from the draft in the short period of time that, that Vegas has been drafting. So I think they imagine that Leonard is going to be the guy that that transitions them from Fleury as the number one to Fleury as a 1A to, you know, maybe Fleury as a 1B. So this is a little bit about today, but I think it's more about tomorrow.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that was interesting. It was busy. Lots to talk about for sure on the radio, which we loved. We'll take get you talking on Thursday again when we hook up again. We'll see. Are you still down in L.A. for the next little while, or what's your status?
Just this week, yeah. Just this week. I'm coming home when the Flames are coming home. My colleague Scott Cruikshank is on the road with the Flames right now, so you know there was no need for two of us to be there. But once this homestand starts, I'm back for good for the playoff push. Interested to see how the lads look. By the way, I like those moves of Forbert and Gustafson. I'm not sure what the fan reaction was. I do see Forbert a fair bit down here. He was playing top pair minutes with Doughty and facing really tough matchups. If he doesn't have to face those hard matchups, his lack of mobility is not going to be much of an issue. He's a tough physical player. He kills some penalties. I think as a third pair guy, he's a useful player. I don't, you know, Gustafson, I don't know as much. Had him on my fantasy team last year though, when he scored 60 points. So I love that.
Yeah.
You know, the guy can shoot the puck, you know, he's deficient defensively, but he's got something to add too. So I, for what you had to give up to get two pieces like that, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, and Gustafson's going to have a look on the power play tonight, but it's going to be a tough one for sure in Boston. But, well, we'll find out. That's why they play the games, right, Eric?
That's what we always say.
Yeah. All right, we'll check with you on Thursday for sure.
All right, thank you.
There I go. Eric DeHatchek down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. As promised, hey, the iconic moment of the game, your chance to maybe win the big prize coming up April. Somebody's going to go see the NHL Awards in Vegas. Why not you? All expenses paid. Just listen for the moment of the game, pregame. That's when Pat does it. And if you know the answer, just text your name and your answer to 960-960. And who knows? Boomer might announce your name as the next entrant for the iconic moment of the game from our good friends at Iconic Electric and Controls. I got a pair of tickets to go see Hitman and Brandon, and I got a pair of tickets to go see Hitman in Lethbridge. Brandon here is Friday, and Lethbridge here Sunday. So two callers or two texters, first and last name, and just make sure that you can go, right? Don't win if you can't go. That drives me nuts. So, and you got to come and pick them up. So simple as that. Hey, that's easy. 960-960, first and last name, and maybe what game you want to go see, Brandon or Lethbridge. All right, we'll take a break. We got No BS coming up with Brian Burke and Jeff Merrick. And then Pat Steinberg takes over. And then Ryan Pinder in at 2 o'clock. We got a shortened show. 4 o'clock means Flames warm up. Flames in Boston tonight. Play-by-play at 5.
This is No BS with Berkey and Merrick on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, it's the day after deadline day. All the teams are set. You have what you have. You are what you are. So is the GM's job done now? Put your feet up, have an extra long lunch break. Our GM, Brian Burke, fills you in next on No BS.
This is Lana Duke with Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You've heard me say, if it doesn't sizzle, send it back. Why is the sizzle so important? Well, we broil your age prime steak at 1800 degrees and serve it on a heated plate so it stays hot and juicy to the last delicious bite. You can actually hear your steak sizzling from across the room. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Come in soon and come hungry, darling.
Okay, Brookie, from a GM's point of view, what's a day like today like and the rest of the season? It's the day after deadline and all through the house. The rosters are set. What does a GM do now?
Well, in my case, as a Catholic, you go to daily mass, you say the rosary, you light lots of candles. No, really, now you just hold your breath and pray. I remember one year in Vancouver, Marcus Nassim broke his leg 3 days after the deadline or 2 days after the deadline in Buffalo. And I remember going to visit him in the hospital in Vancouver. He actually was hospitalized for a couple of days. And I said, why couldn't you do this 3 days earlier, for God's sake? So I had a chance to replace you. There's really not much you can do, but honestly, sit there, watch, and pray. A, that your deals work out well, and B, that your players stay healthy.
The NHL is only one part of a GM's portfolio and one part of his file. I can recall, listen, I would always see you at junior hockey rinks, but I would always notice that after trade deadline, I would see Brian Burke more around the rinks. Did you step up the scouting after that?
Yeah, because there's not much you can do. So there's not much point in watching American League games or other teams play. Really, at that point, you want to up your scouting outings and viewings. And so, yes, that's an astute observation. I did more after the deadline. And I tried to, especially when I was an assistant GM, you get to scout more when you're an assistant GM. It's funny, the higher you go up on the ladder, the farther you get from the product. You don't see as much junior hockey. You don't see as much American League hockey. You don't see hardly any college hockey as a GM. So it's way more fun being an assistant GM. It's easier to be Robin than Batman, right? None of the pressure, and you get to scout more, which is the funnest part of the job. But you're right, after the deadline, more scouting.
It's a lot more fun complaining from the passenger side, Brian, I assure you.
Exactly. And I remember I thought I was such a big help to Paquin. I was like, how could he do this job without me? And then I became a GM and I realized how little I provided him, how alone he was, how alone all GMs are.
I'm curious, Brian, a new player comes to you, deadline, let's just say, what does a GM do to make him feel welcome?
We try to meet his flight if we can, not at the airport, but when he pulls up to the building, we try and meet him even before he gets in the dressing room or be outside the dressing room. I remember when we traded for Mike Stone, which I think was the trade deadline or close to it, I waited for him in the lobby in Nashville. He got in at 1 a.m. and I was waiting for him in the lobby. So you want to get to him right away and say, you're welcome here. We'd love to have you. We're glad to have you. And make them feel comfortable right away.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary. On the air, online, and on the go, and on your smart speakers. Live from the Basement Systems downtown studio. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, they are all things basement-y. Basement and crawl space waterproofing, humidity, and radon control and structural repair. Go to helpmebasementy.com to find out more. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sports Drive at 5 with Ryan Binder. Weekdays on The Drive Home, 5 to 6 p.m. Hockey is always big on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary Co-op Inside Hockey has the biggest story, newsmaker, or insider of the day. On the ice or off, you get the best from the 200x85 from Ryan Binder. On the air, online, on the Sportsnet mobile app, and always on your smart speaker. Inside Hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Calgary Co-op's Me Awards offer exclusive coupons to your inbox every week. Sign up for yours at calgarycoop.com/me-awards. Inside Hockey is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Want Brian to answer your question here? Use the hashtag #HeyBerkey on social media. Thanks for listening to No BS.